Welcome to the One God Report. My name is Bill Schlegel. This episode has two quite different parts. The first part is I'm going to ask a question about the Hamas attack on Israel. And then, quite a different subject, reading the New Testament without Trinitarian glasses. The first part, October 7th, 2023, a date which will live in infamy. Israel was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the militant terrorist forces of Hamas, the Islamic organization in authority in the Gaza Strip. I'm not going to say much about this situation. The news and social media outlets are awash with information and disinformation. I'll say one thing. While the intricacies of Middle East geopolitics are complicated, there is one thing I think about this current situation that everyone with even the least bit of knowledge of the Israeli-Arab conflict can understand. Here it is. Everyone can understand this. With the brutal, murderous attack on Israel, Hamas knew they were pressing the button that would bring an unprecedented response attack from Israel upon Gaza. Hamas knew that buildings would be blasted, Gazans would be killed, and yes, even a potential ground assault by Israel, and yes, even worse than that. This is clear and understandable. Hamas knew they were provoking such a response. Hamas wanted to provoke such a response from Israel. So, my question for listeners of this podcast is, why? Why would Hamas provoke a bombardment of their territory and their people and a potential land assault, or potentially even something worse? To ask the question another way, from Hamas's perspective, what was the objective of their murderous attack on October 7th, and was the objective reached, or will it be reached? So far, I have a few observations or answers. Please feel free to comment, or maybe you think that Hamas didn't know that Israel would respond in the way it is. If you think that's the case, why do you think that Hamas didn't know that Israel would respond in the way that they did? Here's what I think. To understand this situation, people need to read the Hamas charter, their sort of manifesto. They really believe that such martyrdom is good for them. To die in the effort to remove infidels from what's called waqf, something that's been permanently dedicated to Allah and Islam, in this case, land. To remove infidels from this waqf is the highest calling. Secondly, Hamas wanted the international attention and pro-Palestinian responses and tension that we've seen in various quarters, in different lands, different countries, different nations. And third, Hamas wanted escalation and even more worse wars. They wanted the escalation we've seen in the news these days, and perhaps even worse. So that's all I will say for now about this current Israel-Hamas situation. I'll put a few interesting links in the show notes. Again, I don't think people will be able to understand what is going on unless we read the Hamas charter. Shifting gears, the second topic I'd like to address is called Reading the New Testament Without Trinitarian Glasses. I know for myself and for many others that have come from Trinitarian backgrounds or oneness backgrounds as well. Many Trinitarians don't even know what oneness is, even though they think like oneness folks. Many people that have come from those different backgrounds and now understand, as the Apostle Paul said, as for us, there is one God, the Father, and as Jesus said, Father, you are the only true God. Many of us that have come to see that Jesus is a real human person who was killed and whom God raised from the dead and exalted. Many of us make statements about how now that we've seen it, there's no going back. Because we're reading the biblical text without the former presuppositions and traditions that we used to have. We're no longer prejudiced by those presuppositions. I'm no longer reading the text through a Trinitarian lens. And along with that, we are not ignoring the things that don't fit so well into God being a triune being. I'm paying attention to those things. I'm not glossing over the things that are difficult to understand if God is a triune being. And I thought I would just give one example of that by reading some verses from the first chapter of the book of Revelation. You can do this, I think, with any book, any of the epistles of Paul or any of the Gospels, the Gospel of John especially. Once I took down the Trinitarian or Deity of Christ classes, then I could understand better who the Jesus is that the Gospel of John is presenting, just like the author says. He wants us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He doesn't want us to believe that Jesus is God. Once I took down my lenses of looking at the text from a traditional Trinitarian framework, I could understand the Gospel of John better, especially certain verses that you read over. You just say, oh yeah, it's obvious who God is, that God is the Father alone, and that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. If he's the Son of God, he's not God. So I thought I would just give one example. I chose the book of Revelation because, sure, it's an eschatological kind of a visionary book, but it's after Jesus has already been raised from the dead. So he's in a glorified state. And if there's any time we should see Jesus restored to his pre-incarnate glorious deity state, it would be at this point. But when I read the book of Revelation without my Trinitarian glasses, like I say, I read this book many times before, and I simply wasn't paying attention. But now I see the clear differentiation between God on the one hand and Jesus on the other hand. Jesus is not God, and God is not Jesus. For instance, the very first verse in Revelation chapter 1 starts out like this. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants what must soon take place." Now, like I said, I read that verse many times as a Trinitarian, and for some reason, I didn't see that God was differentiated from Jesus. Or maybe in my mind, I was thinking, well, God there is the Father, and it's the Father who gave to the Son, God the Son, this revelation or something. But even that doesn't really make sense. If Jesus is God, why would another God have to give Jesus anything? So when I look at this verse, I read the revelation of Jesus, the Messiah, that's the human name and the human title for Jesus, which God gave him. Okay, so the him there is Jesus, and he's not God. God gave it to Jesus. So that's what I mean when I say, I can't unsee this. I can't go back to the Trinitarian idea that Jesus is God, because I can see in the text itself that Jesus is not God. God gave him this revelation. I won't read the whole first chapter. I'm going to skip down to a couple of different verses. John writes then in verse 4 of the first chapter, he's writing to the churches in Asia, and he says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come." Okay, now who is that? I think we can see as we continue the next verse or two that that's talking about God, the only God, that's the Father. Okay, grace and peace from him, a singular individual, from him, not from them. So either God the Father alone is God, or the Trinity by itself is the one God. But here, the one who is and was and is to come is a him, a singular self, a singular individual, not a three-person being. So from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So now we have seven spirits, not one spirit. But these seven spirits are before his throne. Again, it's a singular individual. This is the Father, as the Bible says. As for us, there is one God, the Father. So this is the one who is introduced. And then there's these seven spirits before his throne. And then, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. So there again, we can see that Jesus Christ is not this one who is and was and is to come, right? Because we are given a greeting from him who is and was and is to come, and from Jesus Christ. And here, Jesus is described as the faithful witness. Jesus had faith, and he was faithful. And here is described as the firstborn from the dead. Now, folks, in the Bible, God does not die. However you define death, you might define it as a separation of the body from the soul. I think that's a Greek Hellenistic idea. I don't think that's the biblical idea. But even if you define death that way, God does not die. And we learn right away here in this first chapter of the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. So this is the way that Jesus is the first. He's the firstborn from the dead. God does not die, neither is God born. Jesus Christ died, and Jesus Christ was born. Again, I'm not reading the text anymore with Trinitarian or deity of Christ prejudices or presuppositions. I'm looking at the text. I see that Jesus Christ is someone other than this one who was eternal. Then in verse 5 and 6, John continues, he says, "To him who loves us," speaking about Jesus, "to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood." God does not have blood. "He freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father." Okay? You see how I can't unsee this, that Jesus is not God? Because Jesus Christ, this one who's raised from the dead, exalted to God's right hand in heaven, has a God. His God is the Father. Now in verse 8, the messenger speaks out, speaking the words of God the Father, the Lord God Almighty, this one who we learned is and was and is to come, and who's different from Jesus Christ up there in verse 4 and 5. Well, in verse 8, we have the words of God the Father speaking through the messenger. "I am the Alpha and Omega," says the Lord God, "who is and was and is to come, the Almighty." Okay, so we have a confirmation that the Lord God is the one who is and was and is to come, the one that we learned about up in verse 4, who's different from Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is not the Alpha and Omega, the Lord God, the Almighty. And I would encourage people to read through the book of Revelation or check an accordance or Bible program. Anytime you see the Lord God or the Lord God Almighty referred to in the book of Revelation, he is a singular individual, a he or a him, and he is not Jesus Christ. He is somebody who is distinguished from Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is not the Lord God Almighty. It's very simple. The only reason it's not simple is if I come to the text with presuppositions and I look at the text through lenses that block out what the text is really saying and prohibit me from understanding and seeing what the text is really saying. But now it's so clear to me that the Lord God Almighty is not Jesus Christ. The Lord God Almighty is the God of Jesus Christ. As we learned in verse 6, the Lord God Almighty, the Father, is Jesus God. I'm going to stop there just to give you a sample of what we mean of reading the text without Trinitarian or deity of Christ presuppositions. And for many of us who are seeing the truth that the one God is the Father and that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, they're distinct beings. They're not only distinct persons, they're distinct beings. Jesus is a human being who died and was raised from the dead. The Lord God Almighty is not a human being. Once we've seen that, it's very clear in the text. And by the way, this is evidence that these texts are very early, because such texts would never have been written by people who believe that God was a Trinity or that Jesus is literally God. These texts predate the development of the idea of the tri-personal God. All of the New Testament texts do. Read through the book of Acts. Read through Paul's book of Romans. See if he ever describes God as a triune being Jesus, one member of that triune deity, any of those things. No, you'll see consistently, Jesus described and the apostles preached that God alone is the Father, someone distinct from Jesus himself. Check it out. Yishmo'u navim v'yismachu. The humble will hear and rejoice.